Good morning. Welcome. This is the Dave Fox Home Remodeling Show. I'm Gary Demas. And today, Jamie, we are going to be talking about underground stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Down deep. We're going deep today.
We're going to live underground today for a little bit and enjoy it.
Yeah.
We're going to live in a very beautiful spot underground.
Yeah.
Once we get done remodeling it, right?
Well, of course.
Exactly. So we're talking about basements.
Yeah.
Which have been interesting over the years, many years, because for a while, many years ago, basements were, it was the rec room, you know?
Right.
And there was kind of a classic type of remodel, put some vinyl flooring down there and don't get too elaborate with anything. It's just like extra living space.
Yeah.
And then over the years, it's come and gone in popularity. I mean, basements, for a while, we'd be doing a whole bunch of them. For a while, we'd hardly do it at all.
Yeah.
And real estate values were really kind of unfair to basement finishing because they didn't really, the appraisals didn't put really any value at all on a finished basement. Very little.
Right.
Not nearly enough. But that has changed, you know, recently. Because you can create really nice living space in a basement, and it can be just as nice as your upstairs, really.
Yeah.
In a lot of cases, we've done really phenomenal special projects like wine cellars and media rooms and nice kitchens and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
So now, basement finishing is really a high-level remodel. Mm-hmm. Gets a lot of respect.
Yeah.
Gets much better property values when you have an appraiser come to your home. So it's a good time to do basements.
Yeah, it is. And basements are fun because they, for whatever reason, people feel like since it's not the first floor of their home, they can be a little bit more fun down there. It can be a little bit more pizzazz or special, or they're more willing to take risks in the basement, which is fun.
I agree.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're listening to Dave Fox Home Remodeling Show. We invite you to visit our website. It's davefox.com. And then on davefoxradio.com, we've got all of our previously broadcast shows and also out there and all in the podcast world. So I don't know, how high does our podcast rank, Jamie, like compared to some really good ones?
Oh, you know, we're up there.
Up there like in the first 0.01%?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Good.
Yeah, totally.
Okay.
Yeah. No, but it is nice being able to kind of reach further than Central Ohio with the podcast. And we get a lot of interesting kind of feedback and questions, even other, you know, remodeling companies in the country that reach out to us and say that they're maybe more interested in a process or something that we discussed on the show. And it's been kind of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay. So let's get into it. Basements. Where do we start with basements?
So we're going to go over some do's and don'ts in the basement, just things you want to think about, focus on if you're going to be remodeling a basement. You know, sometimes when we talk about remodeling a basement, it maybe was previously finished and you're just remodeling.
Yeah, could very well be the case, or at least part of it.
Yeah. Other times we're talking a fresh, never finished basement. And sometimes we might be finishing additional space in a basement. You know, maybe it is previously finished, but they could have finished more and you want to add something or change something. Whatever the case is, though, there's definitely ways to make a basement feel less basement-y.
Yep. Okay, so did you have a new house built? Or did you?
Our last house we built.
Okay.
This house we bought a previous.
So when you built that house, what kind of discussions? Of course, you used to be involved in selling homes.
Yeah.
So what kind of discussions come up when you're building a house?
Well, I think there's a lot of things that come up, and it's going to depend a lot on what builder you're going with, of course, because some of them let you customize and some of them don't. But you definitely want to take into consideration if you have plans to finish the basement. And quite frankly, even if you don't plan on finishing the basement, somebody that owns that house someday will.
Yeah.
And this is the only chance you get.
Yeah,
this
to get it done very reasonably.
I mean, yes, you technically can do things later on, but you're not, this is it.
Yeah.
You know, this is it. So please do not skimp and go for crawl space. always opt to do the full basement.
Yeah.
You will never regret it ever. And it's exponentially cheaper to do it while you're building than it ever will be later.
Okay. So with that being said, then in terms of finishing the basement,
Yeah.
So many times the new homes, the basements are unfinished.
Right.
But if your builder does finish basements, that's the time to do it and get it done very reasonably.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because that's when all the new construction is taking place. They don't have to work around anything. They're building it all from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very economical to get your basement finished when you're building.
Of course, yes.
Many people are kind of building to their maximum budget and,
right.
and size and everything and just don't have the funds to do that. But if you do,
yeah,
that's the most economical time to do it. But in a lot of cases, we come in just a year or two after the house is built.
Yeah, a lot of builders don't finish basements.
Yeah.
I know the builder we built with did not finish a basement. The builder that I used to work for would not finish basements.
Okay.
So a lot of them, for whatever reason, stay out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, definitely economically. But you're right, we do come in a lot, just like a year later.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. But yeah. And a lot of people, you know, I feel like builder at the time used to tell people to wait a year. So you can see, make sure there's no water issues, let the house settle a little. Mm-hmm. And those aren't invalid points,
yeah.
But I don't know that they're fully necessary to wait either.
Yeah.
So, but I will say, you know, like I said, though, when you are building a house, regardless of if they're finishing or not, you should always assume someday someone will want to finish that basement.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to look at things like your utilities, right? Where is your HVAC, your hot water tank? All of those are very big. They like to put them in the center because it makes it really easy to run everything.
Well, yeah, and it's most efficient, you know, to have your like your HVAC system in
the center. But it can make, you know, finishing a basement really tricky.
Mm-hmm.
Or I know they really like to put one thing in every corner, which is fun too. I've seen that a lot too. You know, the sump pumps in that corner, the electric box in that one. But thinking through some of that, you know, where everything is and how you could finish it someday,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you do have the budget to dig that extra block, do it.
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
For the ceiling height.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So there's just little factors like that. You know, an egress window at the time you're building the house,
mm-hmm.
so much easier
than
doing it later.
Absolutely.
Things like that are really good to think through.
Yep.
But yeah, the home we moved into, we finished the basement after we moved in, and it was definitely one of those where the HVAC was in the center, the hot water tank was in one corner, the electric box was in another, and the mm-hmm. sump pump was in another. And
we were surrounded by mechanicals,
and they definitely did not dig for the extra block.
Mm.
So we were going to have very short ceilings
mm-hmm.
At a finish point. And so it was not taken into consideration that it would be finished one day. But we made it work.
Mm-hmm.
You can work around it, you know, and you can kind of make accommodations to make it all work.
Yeah. Basement space is so nice to have there because you never know how the family's going to grow or what needs you're going to have. I've even heard of people building airplanes in their basement. They'll build airplanes. And one guy I know built the fuselage so big he had to tear his stairs apart to get it.
Oh my gosh.
But anyhow, you never know what's going to come up. And that's a lot of space that can be handled in so many different ways.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just a luxury to be able to have the ability to be flexible with that space and add what you need.
Yeah.
Media rooms, kitchenettes, you know,
mm-hmm.
Entertainment areas. There's so many different things. Kids, playrooms.
I know. Well, and we have our guest bedroom and bathroom down there,
mm-hmm.
which works really well for us. It's so nice that they have kind of their own space when they come.
Yeah.
You know, we have a lot of friends that come in from out of town with their kids and everything, and it gives them their own living environment.
Mm-hmm.
It's really nice.
Very nice. And it's nice, too, to create that second living space for your kids when they get older and they mm-hmm. have their own kids. And it gives them a nice little spot to come and visit mom and dad. And that works out really well.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're talking basements here on the Dave Fox Home Remodeling Show, where we talk about all different kinds of subject matter. And as I mentioned before, I invite you all to visit our website, stayfox.com. We're going to take a break, Jamie. We'll be back here in just a few minutes. Welcome back. This is the Dave Fox Home Remodeling Show, segment number two. Jamie.
That's right.
We made it through one, okay?
Yeah. We're still here.
All right.
Still in the basement.
We still have stuff to talk about for basements?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, we were talking about finishing a basement, especially for guests coming into town and things of that nature, which really it's such a functional use of that space. Here in Central Ohio, the code is that you need to have an access point, so like an egress window of sorts.
For a sleeping room.
For a sleeping room and code and such like that. And it is amazing how, you know, with our design consultants or having someone with that design eye or really that understands the floor plan, being able to look at the space and what all can be accommodated. I remember even, you know, the conversations between myself and my husband about what we would do there. And he kept being like, oh, that's not, it's definitely not big enough for a bedroom. And I kept walking him back up to the first floor to show him. I'm like, no, it's this whole room in the basement. Like it really, he had a hard time translating that our whole first floor was our basement. And that it's that much space. It really is a lot of space when it's completely unfinished and it's just cinder block. It's really hard to gauge, you know, if things are going to be enough space or not. But I just remember during that process, we would just go up and down the stairs, up and down the stairs.
Really?
Yeah. Because I would show him, you know, we could put the bathroom here. And no, there's no way. Take him back upstairs. I was like, right here, this would be a big bathroom. He's like, oh, it would be. That can't be the same. But yeah, and poles, you know, are of course are another thing that are constantly being worked around in a basement. Any structural support items and things of that nature.
That's where, you know, good design comes into play, because there's always things to work around in the remodeling business and designing. And there's structural items that need consideration. I mean, we have at times where in a basement layout we needed more space and the pole was just in the way, the post. So we've actually had steel work done that we had to slide in through a basement window and get into place so that we could eliminate a post. So that can be done. Really, anything can be done in remodeling. And obviously, it's an extra expense, but there's times where the floor plan layout just really warrants that extra expense.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, depending on what you're going to be utilizing the space for, too, determines a lot of that. For us, we knew it was going to be the guest bedroom, guest bathroom. So we wanted those to be, you know, nice. But then we knew the rest of the space was just going to be for kids. So we just wanted it to be as, we'll call it indestructible as possible. But, you know, feasibly not a big, you know, point for us to invest a lot down there, because we knew it was going to be for kids. We knew they would destroy it. It's perfect for that. And even, you know, we do have, there's areas of our basement that are 7 feet. It's pretty short. And at first we were really worried about that. And it's really just fine. It is. I mean, that's coming from someone that's only 5'2", but you might feel differently, Gary. But for us, we're a short family.
6 inches away from
the... And it works fine for us. And like I said, that's also why we designated it as a kid's space. We don't plan on it being, you know, an adult hangout at any point. But you got to kind of think about what you're going to be utilizing it for and what, if, you know, weigh the pro and con of the cost to it.
Now, if you do put a sleeping room down there and you don't have an egress window, that's really not as much of a hurdle as people may think. Yeah. Because egress windows, they dig and create a window well on the outside. So it's not, you know, it looks okay. They create like an area with stone on the bottom and so the water can drain.
Saying it's not that big a deal to add one. I thought you were saying that you could do it without one. I was like, how?
Oh, no. So you got to add one. But it's not a big hurdle, you know, for $4,000 to $5,000 you can have one put in and bingo, you've got nice daylight coming in there.
The daylight's huge.
You've taken care of your egress situation. So it just creates more of a pleasant area in the basement bedroom to have some natural light coming in.
The natural light, I think, in a basement is huge. You know, it really changes the feel of a basement. You know, we mentioned earlier, a lot of clients will want their basement to not feel basement-y. And that's a key aspect to not feeling like you're in a basement is natural light. And any way that you can obtain more natural light really helps. Another thing that I think really helps, I remember when we were getting ours done and they asked if we wanted a flat ceiling or a stamped ceiling. And I knew with the ceilings being so short, we went for flat. It was a little bit of an extra cost, but it really helps the ceilings feel taller when they're flat, I think. But yeah, and of course, can lights and things like that. We don't, gosh, couldn't tell you the last time we did a drop ceiling. I don't think we really do those anymore, do we?
Mm-mm.
Yeah. They're still out there. They still exist. I think a lot of maybe do-it-yourselfers feel like that might be a better
solution. I guess it can be a little easier, especially if you're having to cover over a lot of pipes and wiring and stuff that are protruding down from the bottom of the joist. But
the tough thing with a drop ceiling, though, is that your whole ceiling is going to be lower. At the lowest point it could go. Whereas, like I mentioned, we have just one area that's that 7 feet that's a little uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. The rest of it being able to be higher.
Yeah, you can do that with a drop ceiling.
Oh, you can change the...
Yeah.
Okay.
But you're still going to be down at least 3 to 4 inches from the bottom of the joist, just so that you can actually physically get a panel up in there.
Up in there,
if it was uptight, there's no way you'd get it in.
Yeah. I know. One thing I actually see a lot in basements, too, is oftentimes where maybe there's a pipe or something, they'll drop the ceiling with drywall and do a little soffit.
Yep.
And sometimes they're a little awkward, you know, where it's just this little jet out in the wall that drops.
Yeah.
I always am a big proponent of making it as least awkward as possible. So if it's only a foot away from the wall, just make that whole little area drop down instead of just the one little thing. I think that just kind of helps your eye from being so broken up and helps with the shadows that it actually makes the ceilings feel a little taller too.
Yeah. But a drywall ceiling definitely is going to make it be more like finished space, more like you're upstairs. And nice moldings and flooring. And I mean, you can make your basements really pleasant, enjoyable.
I know. It's interesting because we put LVP in our basement in kind of the main area and into the bathroom. And then in the bedroom, we did carpet. And in hindsight, I actually wish we would have done carpet in the whole basement.
Is that right?
I think it makes it feel just a little bit cozier, a little homier. At least for us, that's how it feels. And I've found that our kids really always play on the floor.
Oh.
And so I feel like that cushionier carpet would have been, although I say that after yesterday spending 3 hours cleaning kids' lipstick out of our rug that we have down. So, you know, pros and cons, right? Yeah. Oh, so story for another day.
Okay.
But you definitely want to maximize that natural light, optimize the ceiling height as much as possible. Now, with moisture control, is there anything you can do in a basement proactively before you put drywall up and frame it and finish a basement? What are some things that you should do?
One of the really big items is making sure that the grade outside is correct.
Okay.
Because especially some of the older areas in Upper Arlington and certain areas, the grade actually angles towards or slopes towards the house. So all the water outside is draining towards the house. It builds up a lot of hydraulic pressure on all that cinder block around there.
Yeah.
And it's going to leak. And you can do basement waterproofing. I mean, there's treatments, digging a trench around, putting in drainage tile and a sump pump and treating your walls and all that kind of stuff. So that's like catching the issue and dealing with it. It's not eliminating the issue.
Okay.
So there's ways to landscape outside, create swales, French drains and stuff. So that if you have a lot of water coming up against the home, that's just never a good idea. So regrading, doing some landscape work out there to fix that problem would be job number one.
Okay.
Because then it takes all the pressure off of your foundation and your walls and gives you a fighting chance and to keep that basement dry.
Okay.
That makes sense?
Yeah.
But then there's other internal things that can be done and that need to be done in many cases. So there's a fair amount of detail involved in that, which I think would be interesting to get into. So in the next segment, segment number three, let's talk some about basement waterproofing.
Yeah.
We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is the Dave Fox Home Remodeling Show. I'm Gary Demas. This is segment three. Glad to have everyone tuned aboard today while Jamie's trying to get her little clock thing fixed there. So
got it.
We know when to stop. You got it, Jamie?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Are you a couple seconds off? Do we have to like internalize those 3 seconds?
You just may have to cut me off. It'll be okay.
All right. That'd be fun. I'm going to cut Jamie off right here.
No. Yeah.
Okay. All right, so we're talking about basement waterproofing now.
Yeah.
The whole show's not dedicated to basement waterproofing, right?
No, but it is an important part of finishing your basement. I mean, basements are naturally pretty moist.
Yes. And Yeah. So where you're at, where your house is situated is huge.
Mm-hmm.
I was in a lived in a subdivision a few years ago where I was kind of the king of the hill. The whole thing sloped down one direction and we were right at the very top.
Yeah.
And never had a hint of water. The sump pump never ran.
Wow.
Because there's no surface water coming up against the house.
Yeah.
So it'd be a different story for the house that's at the bottom of that, because mm-hmm. you've got all the surface water hitting right down there. And that stuff has to move. Now, where I added onto my basement in my existing home on our horse farm, we had kind of the same scenario of a woods in the back and the ground was sloping to the house, right where I wanted to put the addition.
Yeah.
So what I did is I created, and I mentioned this in the last segment, I created a swale out there. So I regraded the whole back. So, you know, I can't keep all that water from coming.
Right.
But what I can do is catch it before it gets to the house.
Mm-hmm.
So when I backfilled around the house, I put tons of gravel, 57s. So that way the water just drops right down through to the tiles before it gets to the house.
Yeah.
So there's no resistance. The water just escapes, goes down the tiles, and drains out.
Just found another path for it, basically.
Yes, and I just have like a 6-inch layer of ground on top to plant grass and stuff. But about 8 feet out from the house, I'm sloping down to this low area where I put in another drain tile and some surface drains and a bunch of stone, so it catches all the water sloping down to that low point and diverts it all around the house, clear out towards the creek. So I'm all the water's coming, but I'm catching it and removing it before it gets against the house.
Yeah.
So our basement has been dry, no problems at all.
Wow.
So that's done primarily. I mean, we put the typical waterproofing on the exterior of the cement block, and that helps a little bit, but that in no way would prevent all that water from coming in.
Yeah. Gosh, it's so hard. It's, you know, it's very overwhelming. As I'm going to generalize myself as more of the general consumer that wouldn't know how to do anything mm-hmm. you just said. and it's very challenging, I think, for a general consumer to know what is needed, you know, because you have people out to your home and maybe say like, oh, I'm having issues with water right here. And mm-hmm. you might have three people out about this water issue mm-hmm. and you'll get three different kind of solutions or responses or opinions. And it's really challenging, I think, to know what to do. And and oftentimes you're not talking, you know, a couple $100s to fix the problem.
No.
You're talking thousands.
Yeah.
And, you know, which thousands do you pick? Who's right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's hard to know, I think.
Yeah. Well, yeah, if you hear someone talking and it makes sense, I guess there's really two things you need to consider. One is, you obviously have to deal with the water that's coming in, but don't let that be the only solution. Deal with whatever outside is causing that water to come in.
Yeah.
So if you do, you know, treat it from both applications, then you're in pretty good shape.
Yeah. That's good. That's good insight, you know, to make sure, because you would think, you know, if there was water on the inside of my basement, I got to take care of the inside of my mm-hmm. basement. You don't mm-hmm. always automatically think.
Yeah,
I got to make a solution for it
outside
too. And
in some cases, it can be as simple as your gutter drains are not, you know, rerouted or need rerouted.
Yeah.
Because if gutters aren't put up properly or aren't draining in the right spots, just one downspout can cause you tons of problem in a basement.
It's amazing.
Yep.
You don't really appreciate things working until they stop, right?
Yeah. You don't notice it when they're working.
Right, exactly. You really don't. You don't
just
even
like
think about your dreams.
Referees, if nobody notices them, they're doing a great job.
Yeah. Yeah, seriously. I know. So, you know, talking about basements again, beyond the waterproofing, obviously there's a lot of damage and mildew and mold and mm-hmm. a whole domino effect of issues that can come with that. So that's crucial to take care of and definitely not somewhere you want to skimp. But, you know, people like to entertain in their basements. They like to invest in their basements. They like it to be a feature mm-hmm. a lot of times.
Great place to watch a Ohio State Buckeye game.
Great place to watch a game. And we do an exceptional amount of wine cellars, bourbon mm-hmm. lounges, bourbon rooms, bars, you know, entertainment areas. All of that kind of stuff is really going, you know, investing, people are really investing in their basements. Yeah. They're beautiful spaces. We've done a lot of really cool things in basements. And it, I feel like it too, it used to be like, I remember on all the houses growing up, you'd go in somebody's basement. It was like a big open finished room.
Yeah.
Whereas now it's done a little bit differently, and it's a little, they're intentionally compartmentalized into zones and kind of spaces. And maybe there's a kid's playroom, maybe there's a guest bedroom. And then maybe over here is more the entertaining area with the big TVs and the bar and things like that. And there's a lot more zones happening opposed to just the big open space.
You know, as busy as we are today and after COVID and all the stress and frustration everyone went through, it's nice to have a little retreat that you can get to, you know.
It is.
And it's outside of your main level of your home, and it's private.
Yeah.
And you can do whatever you want down there.
I know. It's interesting, too, because, you know, if someone were to ask, you know, should I finish my, remodel my kitchen first or remodel my basement first? And there's pros and cons to both, right? Because remodeling your kitchen, if your basement's unfinished, it's a lot easier to access everything.
Yes.
But if you're, if you finish your basement first, while you're remodeling your kitchen, you have an escape, you have somewhere to live. So it's really, it's a tough choice between the two. But having a having the plan in place is very helpful. You know, if you did remodel your basement first, if you already know what you're going to do in your kitchen and can do some of those things in the ceiling beforehand, that's fantastic. You know, there's other things that you can really do while finishing a basement or before you finish a basement that make a lot of sense too. We've been adding a lot of those 220 outlets to garages for electric cars, which is, you know, they're quickly becoming more and more. And it's a good time to do it while you're finishing a basement. You already have an electrician there. Things are already open and exposed. So those are good things to add on. I know when we finished our basement, we just went ahead and got a new sump pump, make sure it's really in good shape before we invest all that money, things like that. They even have kind of smart sump pumps now that have an app with them, which is nice, you know, when it's running and things. And there's just a lot of little things that you can do to kind of, while you're finishing the basement and already down there, make things a little smoother for you.
Yeah. Just like any mechanicals that need to be done first are really important. So that's why in building an addition or a home, you know, there's this long phase of mechanicals that take place and everything that goes behind the drywall and the insulation.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, with finishing the basement, another kind of key component is, along with the waterproofing, is also just the insulation aspect of it.
Yep. So insulation, again, just to make it a comfortable space. And so in framing a wall in a basement, we could use steel studs or we can use wood studs with a treated plate on the bottom that's touching the concrete. And there it gives us a good 3.5-inch space to put in, you know, an R15 insulation, which is plenty in a basement because you don't have the same cold and wind and stuff hitting it that you have on your upper level.
Yeah.
So insulating the space, the basement, putting a good moisture barrier in is really critical to having a comfortable living space, because a lot of times you think about going down in the basement in the winter, you think about being cold,
cold,
right?
Yeah.
Well, the basement actually can be very warm and cozy, like mine is.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll be right back. This is the Dave Fox Home Remodeling Show. I'm Gary Demas. I'm president of Dave Fox Design Build Remodelers here in the Columbus area. Jamie, you're our marketing manager, director, whatever.
Yep.
Marketing.
Just, yeah, whatever. Whatever you feel like that day.
Okay.
Marketing director, sure. You know, we were just talking about insulation and talking about warmth and things like that. Another factor in a basement, though, can be sound. Especially, like I said, we have our guest bedroom in the basement.
Yeah.
You know, the walking that happens above and and things like that. Is there, I mean, would just insulation in the ceiling do anything? Or what sort of...
Not much, honestly. Yeah. Sound transmission is a tricky one. And it's vibration that's causing it. So a dense insulation could help some. And like there's rock wool, which is kind of, it's a dense insulation, but it catches like human voice frequencies best.
Okay.
But if you're playing music or something, it's not going to help that much.
Okay.
So you're right. The transmission from the upper level down to the basement is something you need to think about. So there's different ways of doing that. There is a, okay, so let's say we're drywalling the ceiling in the basement. Mm-hmm. So we're not going to screw it directly to the joist. We're going to put like a little Z bar, a metal Z. And what that does is it holds the drywall down off of the joist about a half inch.
Okay.
And then you screw the drywall to the Z bar.
Okay.
So you've got a little bit of a break there between sound transmission.
Yeah.
But it'll help some, but not a tremendous amount.
Yeah.
If you want to get a little more intense, you could actually take like three layers of drywall, cut them, but fit them between the joists and adhere and screw them in right up against your subfloor.
Oh.
So it's the mass of drywall, especially three layers. If you use 5/8, it's even better. You've got that mass that's killing vibration. Mm-hmm. So that is the biggest deal.
I mean, that makes sense. Yeah.
And I actually, in my last house, created a music room, like a little recording studio.
Yeah.
So I built like offsetting walls so that the studs, there was no direct contact between the drywall on one side of the wall and the other, because there was alternating studs.
Yeah.
And I put the rock wool insulation in there. So, and I had, that's when we had six grandkids living with us, five of them are boys. So,
you know, so it was loud.
So that went a long way in keeping noise down.
I bet. Yeah, I know. It's definitely, you know, it's just those types of things that you want to take into consideration while you're finishing a basement, I think, is noise, insulation, waterproofing. And, you know, we talked about natural light, but just your general light source, you know, is another kind of crucial part in a basement, especially it not feeling basement-y. Good lighting, you know, and the can lights that they have now that are so thin. The
wafer lights.
They're amazing. You really can have a very well-lit basement.
Absolutely.
And it makes it feel a lot less basement-y. Mm-hmm. So that's another good area that's worth the investment of having a good amount of can lights and things down there.
So we're creating a space that's well-lit, it's well-insulated, so it's warm, comfortable, inviting.
Yeah.
Not like your typical basement that you think of.
No. Yeah. another big part of your basement is the flooring. You know, I'd mentioned we did some LVT and some carpet. I wish we had done carpet just because I think it holds a little bit more of the sound in a basement and it's a little homier. But the LVP is also great, you know, in a lot of aspects. It cleans up very easily for one, but there's pros and cons to both. And different things that you can do. And depending on what you're using the space for, you might change whatever those are. And you might, again, in those different zones, we mentioned that the floor plans are a little bit more compartmentalized. There's a lot more than one type of flooring going down in basements now.
Yeah. Now, when we talk about flooring and basements, we think about water, don't we?
Yes.
Because if your basement floor ever floods, then I mean, you're really limited on what you can put. There's the laminate, you know, flooring planks that are claimed to be waterproof.
Right.
But that doesn't mean you can submerge them in water.
Right.
So there's no flooring that you would lay down other than ceramic tile that would be truly waterproof.
Right.
And honestly, if you're having your basement flood, you're not going to be finishing it anyways.
Yeah.
But even if you have a basement that if the sump pump fails, you're going to have flooding.
Yeah.
You have to be so cautious there because I can't tell you how many times we've heard of the batteries, you know, weren't strong enough to do the job or they hadn't been changed enough.
Yeah.
So the sump pump didn't work and the basement flooded. Mm-hmm. So if you're really dependent on a sump pump, you have to go to extremes to make sure it's working well, the batteries are serviced regularly. You know, I'd even put two of them in because you need some redundancy there, because if you're depending on finishing your basement and it'll flood if your sump pump fails, that sump pump becomes so critical.
It does, yeah. You know, and even setting a reminder maybe in your calendar for once a month, once every other month to check the battery isn't a bad idea at all. You know, and you also, you know, there's building codes and a lot of kind of rules and regulations that prevent some of this, but you also want to be sure with, you know, if you're closing in your HVAC, let's say, or anything like that, it still needs to be accessible. You still need to be able to get there in there to be able to service it. Same sure. thing with a sump pump. You don't want to make it too difficult for yourself to check anything, change anything, mm-hmm. update things. Mm-hmm. You don't want to be tearing out walls to replace a sump pump, you know.
Yeah.
You really need to be cognizant of future maintenance and things upcoming. I know our HVAC was, of course, dead center of our basement. So we kind of built a bit of, we squared it in. And we ended up just putting two doors on either side of it, okay. two really big doors, mm-hmm. just to make it very easy to yeah. maintenance yeah. In the future. There's an extra door really doesn't hurt anything. Right. It makes it so much easier to get in there. Mm-hmm. So that was one thing we did. Another thing that we actually came up with, because we were putting in the flooring ourselves, there was a floor drain that I really wasn't quite sure how to run the floor over mm-hmm. because it kind of popped up. So what we ended up doing was, it was pretty close to a wall. So we just put a closet in there and we okay. just kind of cut out that little square around where that drain pipe is. And we have mm-hmm. a basket sitting on top of it. But the closet, ironically, out of all the things, this closet is my favorite thing in our basement.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Just for the extra storage?
The extra storage. Well, mm-hmm. it stores all of my kids' crafts, like all the paint, the, you know, melty beads, the Nerf guns. It just stores so much of their stuff.
Yeah.
And it's just one of those things that I think when you're planning a basement or any room, you want to maximize the square footage. And sometimes you forget about the value of a closet.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's times where we'd build substantial amount of closet space in the basement just for that reason.
Yeah.
There's always a need for storing stuff.
Oh, it's the best storage. Mm-hmm. It's my favorite part of our finished basement is the the unplanned closet. Mm. But yeah, you know, you definitely want to pay attention to those building codes and regulations for the space around things because yep. they're for your own benefit.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, we've got electric panels. You know, all of those appliances have specified clearances that they need, like electric panels. You have to be 36 inches away from the face mm-hmm. just for access. Servicing all that stuff is really important.
Yeah.
So in basement finishing, really, it's a matter of moisture, water, making sure that you've got that under control.
Mm-hmm.
Any egress windows that you may need in for sleeping rooms, that's really important to think yeah. about and plan during your remodel. How you're going to use the space, all the different things you can do in a basement that can be a retreat, a wine room, bourbon room, as you mentioned, a media room,
mm-hmm.
a game room. There's yeah. so many things to do, and like nice little kitchens and
yeah.
TVs and all the stuff that we put in basements are great. So this is the Dave Fox Home Remodeling Show. I'd like to invite everyone to reach us by email if you want to. It's info@davefox.com. We love hearing from all the people listening to us, and sometimes we have interesting questions or comments from our listeners. And you can go to our website. It's davefox.com. We invite you to go there. You can go to davefoxradio.com and hear any previously broadcast radio shows. We'll be back next Sunday morning at 8.